everybody. My name is Ken Fallon, and today is a special episode of Hacker Public Radio. Joining me here to explain some more about it is a colleague of mine, Klaas-Jan. How are you doing, Klaas-Jan?
I'm doing fine, Ken. Thank you.
Actually, I thought our first interview would be more something technical, like how cable networks work, but something more important may or may not be happening over the weekend. Can you tell me what that is?
It's a big ice skating event in the north of the country. It's very important ice skate event for the Dutch people. So, yes.
What's it called?
Elfstedentocht. 11 city tour. Marathon. Yeah, tour. Yeah.
So that's actually, when they say cities, it's more like a small village, I guess.
No, it's really, I think it's really a city. They have like a city name, so that's why there are 11.
Okay, so for a bit of background, I guess, to people, the Netherlands is quite flat, and there a lot of it is underwater as such, and this particular part of the country up the north, the cities are connected together by a series of canals and dikes and the like.
Lakes.
So when it freezes, you essentially have high-speed interconnects between the towns.
On your ice skates, of course.
Yes, so way back, as far back as 1760, people have decided that when it gets cold enough, they would do this tour and start off at which city?
I think it's Leeuwarden.
Leeuwarden, and then go around in the same day, visit all 11 cities in the province.
Yeah, 200 kilometers. So there is first, in the morning, there's a marathon, riders by professional riders to do a really an speeding match, and then afterwards it's for the amateurs to ride that round as well, 200 kilometers around the 11 cities, and make sure you get in on time before 12 o'clock at night.
And along the way you have to get a special stamp.
You have to stamp at every city. I don't know if this year they're going to change something with the chips, but yeah, the stamping is very very common. And and also by the match riders, they really have to stamp. Although they're being followed by television cameras all the time, they really have to stamp. Because early these days, they didn't have mobile camera devices on bicycles. So the stamp did prove that you were actually there, so you could not cheat.
And they also have secret ones along the way as well.
Yeah, they have secret ones. And there was something in the press already today that they said, okay, the secret ones is the secret stamping post still reliable, because of course by the mobile phones and the media, it is very likely that they will be announced by Twitter on time. Of course, 15 years ago, when the previous one was ice skate, there was no twittering media. I remember that my dad had just the first mobile phone that was very large, and the battery didn't last for long. So yes, sir, this year it will be the first Elfstedentocht, if it's going to continue, then with the social media.
What needs to be in place in order for it to go ahead?
I think it needs to be in place that at least 15 centimeter of ice is applicable on all points by the route. So let's see if we can make that. Until now we didn't make that yet, but we still have a couple of days to go before the defrost period comes in.
And what have they been doing to assist that?
I think there's a lot of volunteers with snow shovels clearing the snow off the ice, and I think they already did a vaarverbod. How do you call it? Yeah, that there are no boats allowed in the canals anymore to break the ice. That was already announced earlier last week. Of course, the beginning of last week we had a lot of problems because of the wind. We had enormous wind in the north of the country, so the ice couldn't grow because of the temperatures were really, really below zero. And of course, then at some night the wind stopped. And then we had the day after we had ice for a couple of centimeters. The day after we had snow again. So that is a kind of insulator, and then it is of course holding off the growth of the ice floor. So that's a problem now. So everybody is clearing the snow because the ice is now strong enough that it can carry people and light machines. So they're clearing out the snow to get the more ice thickness.
So exposing the surface of the ice so that it can freeze even more.
Yeah, because of course the organization has to be a little bit reliable for the event. And if everything goes well, there will be 16,000 people skating.
16,000 people skating. And what's the population of the Netherlands?
I think we are with around 60 million.
And how many visitors are expected to go up to Friesland for this event?
I think there are 2 million visitors expected around in Friesland. I think I saw in the media already a lot of problems announced at Vodafone, KPN and T-Mobile that they are worried about the data capacity up north in the country.
These are the mobile phone cell providers in the Netherlands.
Yeah, so I think that's I think even the liquor manufacturer in the north of the country, that is called De Berenburg, is ramping up the production. And it's a kind of hype, but today nothing special has happened and nobody announced it, that it will continue. So we're still waiting at a press conference at, I think, 4:30 this afternoon. So let's wait.
Okay, so again, the last time it was held, it's only been held something like how many times?
Like 14 times?
14 times in total. And the last time was
15 years ago, 1997.
But it's not as if there's one big canal that goes the whole way around. You have to go from one to the other, and there are places where you need to walk. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, there are bridges on the route, and normally the ice below the bridges doesn't freeze that very well. So they normally go out of the water. So you have to go over kind of mats. Carpet, and then you have to cross the bridge over land and to step on the other side of the ice again, because you cannot go under the bridge because probably it's not strong enough. And also they do that to avoid, normally for the match riders, they allow to continue under the bridge, mm-hmm. but you get a kind of conjunction over there with the amateur riders, and they want to avoid it because then the ice gets a lot weaker over there, so they try to make the best out of it.
You were mentioning yesterday that they do ice transplants.
Yeah, that's below the bridges and weak points. They do sometimes ice transplantations. Places that are damaged or very bad quality, they cut out of ice blocks out of the nearest lake that is frozen and that has a thickness of 15 centimeters, and they move the ice over to weak spots to let it freeze overnight and over a couple of days to be integrated into the ice floor, just to
strengthen it up
and get it weaker and get it better.
Okay, are you going to partake yourself?
I'm gonna not participate. I don't have a starting permit. The starting permit, you have to be a subscriber to the organization, member of the organization. Then, at some point, the 16,000 people that are member are full. So they decided for new people to join that if you are a new member of the organization, that you're only going to participate in odd or even years. So they can have more members of the organization. The only thing is you have to be lucky if the event is going to take place in an even or an odd year. For example, my dad is already member of the organization for 30 years around. So he has a fixed membership and he has also a guaranteed starting place. So new members will only get an odd or even year starting place.
Super. And your dad has done it before, has he?
Yeah, twice. Like 15 years ago, he did it as well. And then the weather condition was not that good because it was held in the beginning of January, I think. It's 4th of January. The bad thing about January is the darkness. You start in darkness, it will become very dark in the afternoon. So you have to ice skate in darkness. And of course, in that place, they didn't have nice lightning equipment on top of helmets, what they have now today's, with excellent battery technology. So it was difficult to ride in the darkness. Also, the wind was quite strong at that point. So he was at the end. He was 5 minutes too late and made it to the national news.
5 minutes after 12.
5 minutes after 12.
Meaning that?
Meaning that he was very angry and he didn't got his last stamp. That doesn't result into a small medal. A small medal that's only like, I don't know, a quarter or something. That's very the size of a quarter.
But that's not the point.
That's not the point. He was very angry at that point because he skated, I think, like for, 16 hours in a row. And then he didn't get his medal at the end.
This is 16 hours skating continuously nonstop. That is absolute madness.
At that year, it was -4 around. So yeah, that is quite cold.
So he's got a place this year. What time is he kicking off?
Yes, because in the meantime, a lot of membership cards were freed up. He can start 1.5 hour earlier. I think it's 5:30 he can start.
He's also 15 years older, though.
He's also 15 years old.
What age is he now?
I think he 85.
85?
Yeah.
Of 58?
58, sorry, yeah.
Okay.
So 58.
58, yeah.
Okay.
So it's very, it's a very interesting year. So let's see if it happens.
So first of all, we don't know if it's going to go ahead for a start. And secondly, if it does, he will be starting at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, 5:30.
So after more or less the time you receive this, he'll be heading out. And you're intending on giving him as much technological assistance as you can. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, we. I think we're gonna buy, or we're gonna buy a spare pair of ice skates, of irons, not the shoes. You can exchange the irons under the shoes now these days. And of course, I'm gonna equip him with some mobile phones with some real-time GPS coordination, so I can follow him in the car and feed him when it's necessary. And when he gets tired, I can exchange clothes when he gets sweaty or whatever kind of assistance he needs requires somewhere in the 200 kilometers lane in between.
And you can obviously stop and rest for a while if you want. It's just entirely based on time then.
Yeah, it's entirely based on time and on the stamps, of course.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Okay. Anything else you're going to be bringing?
No, I think we you need to pick up your starting pace 1 day in advance. And then you also need to identify yourself. There are some rumors that they're going to do an arm wrist to with your ID just to avoid illegal riders on the ice. Because it's very, very popular. We're gonna stand at my grandfather's house just because it's very close to the start and to the finish spot. So we will sleep the night in advance over there. Mm-hmm. And the next day I will bring him to the onto the starting position.
Any chance of giving us the coordinates here so that we can follow along, see how he's doing?
I will have a look. I still have to do some equipment and I need to install the app, etc., and arrange a mobile phone with an excellent 3G connection, of course. What is, of course, being doubted by the telecom providers that it will cause an outage sometimes. But at least I hope to try to follow him a little bit during the race.
Because there's going to be 2 million people up there in an area that is basically devoid of life. Okay, I understand the police have special powers for the day.
Yes, I think they mentioned something in the press already that there will be a kind of emergency by the mayor of the province saying like that you cannot enter the ice anymore. There will be a lot of fencing around the ice to avoid tourists to enter the ice, of course, because of the pressure, etc. So it will be you can get a fine probably when you get on the racing track in advance. So let's see what the press conference brings us today, and we will hope it will continue.
Okay, Klaas-Jan, I want to thank you very much for this interview, and you see, it's not as painful as all that, so you can look forward to a breakdown of how cable network works and a run-through of your fishing automated boat on the next Hacker Public Radio. Thank you very much, folks, and the links to this the GPS tracking will be in the show notes for this. And I'd like to wish your father all the best.
Thank you very much, Ken.
Tune in tomorrow for another exciting Hacker Public Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.